Open with the use of hymn number 312A, Let Me Walk With Thee. Pleasure to have this morning for our symposium, Brother John Karavis and Brother David Karavis. The first one up will be Brother John Karavis, and he's going to be speaking to us on Jonah. And the second, David, will speak on Micah. We'd like to have this service open. Brother Peter, would you offer a prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we again come to you very thankful for this day that we have ahead of us. We thank you for the lesson just prior. We ask a special blessing now upon this meeting, and a special blessing upon our brother John and brother David as they speak to us. We pray that you would bless their lips and also our ears, Father, that we may hear the lesson and apply it into our lives. We pray a blessing upon our brethren throughout the world. We pray for the coming kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Brother John Karavis, Jonah.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Kent. Brother Peter, and certainly good to be here and to see everyone once again. And the brethren in Temecula all send their love to you. The prophet Jonah is first mentioned in 2 Kings 14:25, And he preached the word in the days of King Jeroboam II. And, of course, he's mentioned again, as you know, in the New Testament, in Matthew 12, Luke 11. You know, the scribes and Pharisees, they look for a sign. And Jesus told them, no sign will be given you. He called them an adulterous, an evil nation. But he says, only the sign of Jonah will be given to you. And as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so also the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And he also said that the people in Nineveh would rise in judgment against this generation, and they would condemn it because they listened to the preaching of Jonah and they repented. And he says, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So, you know, these clear words of our Lord Jesus tells us that the contents of the book of Jonah gives us true historical history. So we'll go ahead then and we'll read verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying. So this is the word of the Lord. This tells us, this statement covers the truth of the whole contents of this book. This is God's word to Jonah. We'll read verses 2 and 3. He says to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and they were noted for their wickedness, their violence, their greed, brutality. This is in chapter 3, verse 8. And it was so great that it confronted God, and it required punishment. And he told Jonah, cry against it. Do not speak softly. This is a proclamation of God's judgment. And God says, arise and go. Jonah responds. He rose up to flee. Now, why did Jonah disobey and flee? He did not want the people of Nineveh to believe and to repent. When they did repent, it displeased Jonah, and he was very angry that they repented. And we actually get this in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And then if you look at that, this is, Jonah says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You know, and that they did repent, because he says in the second verse of chapter 4, actually, I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And that's what exactly happened. You know, they did repent, and this greatly displeased Jonah. And yeah, and Jonah, it seems to me, he wanted God to destroy Nineveh because Nineveh and Assyria were the enemies of Israel, you see. And he really loved Israel. And he knew that Assyria would probably be used by God to execute his judgment against Israel. See, he was a good patriot. And he was a lover of Israel. And so because we see that they did repent. And this opened the way for God's execution of his judgment on Israel in the future by the sword of Assyria, which actually happened in due time. And so God uses evil or heathen people to perform his will. As the case of Cyrus, Cyrus is called the servant of God because he fulfilled God's will by destroying Babylon, and its similarity of the beast that destroyed, it fulfills God's will by destroying the harlot. Now, Jonah wanted to flee from the presence of God. And you wonder about this. How could he flee from the presence of God? Jonah thought that by fleeing from the land of Israel, from God's influence, he probably understood the truth of Psalm 139, you know, but he seemed to ignore it. You know, it says, "Where can I go from thy spirit?" He says, if I ascend the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. But nevertheless, he wanted to flee from the presence of God. So Judah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he went to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare to go with them from the presence of the Lord. So in verses 4 through 6 of the first chapter, "But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not." You see here that God sent a great wind, and the mariners, they were afraid. They were used to storms. But this was something that was really extreme. And so they cried, every man, unto his God. But God is the one that finally proved able. And in the end, the heathen sailors, as we shall see, they sacrificed to him, to the true God. Verse 16. But we see that Jonah went down to the sides of the ship, which is the interior recesses. And those often are guilty. They shrink into the concealments. And so the shipmaster said to him, "Call upon thy God. What is the reason that you are sleeping? Think upon us, that we do not perish." And so verses 7 through 10, "And they said every one to his fellows, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." And so the guilty individual is discovered. Jonah is interrogated to make full confession. He said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. But Jonah's actions actually contradicted his words. One who fears the Lord should be obedient to his word. And that Jonah was a reflection of backsliding from God. That's Israel's backsliding. The men were exceedingly afraid. This means that they were terrified. God, the creator of the universe, was after Jonah and was after the sailors as well. The sailors said, "Why have you done this? If those who claim to be God's servants do wrong, they will hear of it from those who are not God's servants." And so verses 11 through 16, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." So we see here that the sailors said, "What shall we do unto thee?" They asked this of Jonah himself because he must best know how his God is appeased. And and Jonah said, "Throw me into the sea." Jonah knew that the only way for the storm to abate was for the sailors to toss him overboard. Jonah was ready to die. His words, "Because of me," are an admission of guilt. So the sailors cried out to the Lord. They prayed to the Lord on behalf of the Lord's rebellious prophet. So they did so. Jonah had said, "Cast me into the sea," but only when they saw that there was no other option. Verses 13, where it says they rowed hard in order to get to the land, and they couldn't really get to the land. So then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And the fact that the sailors feared indicates a reverence for the true God and believing faith. The same reverence that Jonah claimed in verse 9. The fear of the Lord. The sailors became converts because they feared the Lord. And so we'll take a look at Psalm 103, verse 11. "For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." And verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." The sailors offered a sacrifice. Their sacrifice was made to the God of Israel. Verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." God sent the fish, not a whale, to rescue Jonah from drowning. Jesus said, remember, that his death and his resurrection were foreshadowed by Jonah's experience. And so we'll look at chapter 2 and look at verses 1 and 2. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I. Thou heardest my voice. The phrase, the Lord his God, shows that Jonah, even though he was disobedient, he was a true believer in the true God. And so Jonah cried out. He cried for help and distress out of the belly of Sheol. And when the sailors threw Jonah into the sea, he seemed to be as good as dead. The sea became like Sheol, the place of death. Verses 3 and 4, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah says, you cast me into the deep. He acknowledges God's control of his life. I will look again toward your holy temple. The man who had run from God's presence was alone, yet he clung to the hope that God would not abandon him. The holy temple in Jerusalem was a symbol of God's presence. Verses 5 and 6, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me. Forever. Jonah pictures himself so deep in the sea that it is like a pit or grave, like Sheol is used to describe the realm of the dead. In verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. I remembered the Lord. So Jonah reaffirms his faith in the Lord and renewing his commitment to him. In verses 8 and 9, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee, which with the voice of thanksgiving I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so, you see here in verses 8 and 9, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. This vow of praise is common in the Psalms. Jonah says that he will keep his promise. Salvation is of the Lord. It is God who delivers his people. And in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Lord spoke to the fish. So the focus in the story of Jonah is in Lord's control over creation to bring about his purpose. This experience of Jonah enhanced his subsequent message to the people of Nineveh. So chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord, how Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So Jonah obeyed the command of the Lord the second time, and he made the journey to Nineveh. And verses 4 through 6, and Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with a cloth, and he sat in ashes. So Jonah proclaimed that there was only 40 days. There was only 40 days before the destruction of Nineveh. They believed God and they proclaimed a fast, sackcloth and ashes, but expressions of mourning and lamentations. So verses 7 through 10, and caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And so the nationwide fast declared by the king of Nineveh showed the humility before the Lord. The king understood the nature of repentance. For every man, woman, and child, they were exhorted to turn from evil and violence. The fast was an opportunity for a change of attitude and behavior. So God relented. The Ninevites repented. Repentance moved the Lord to extend mercy and grace to them. So chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, of great kindness, and thou repentest of the evil. And so we see that Jonah became angry in contrast to God. Jonah had no compassion on the people of Nineveh. He was displeased. He was irritated respecting the good news that the city would be spared. So Jonah himself had just been spared God's judgment, but he was unable to appreciate the parable. And so verses 3 and 4, yeah, for lack of time, we won't read that, but Jonah says, please take my life. Jonah's death wish came from disgust at the people's repentance. Only a few days before, Jonah had screamed to keep him alive. And now in verse 5, it says, till he might see what would become of the city. So in his continuing stubbornness and lack of compassion, Jonah held out hope that God would judge Nineveh. So we see in verses 6 and 7 that the Lord prepared a gourd, and he also prepared a worm, as in chapter 1, verse 7, where he prepared a great fish. So the repeated use of the word prepared depicts the supreme power and authority of God. Gourd is a castor oil plant. It has one large leaf, and it grows on a branch. So the collective leaves give good shelter to deliver him from his grief. Because he delivered him from his grief, the Lord had rescued Jonah from drowning. Now he wished to relieve the prophet from the misery of the sun. So the book of Jonah depicts the Lord as free to act in creation. God placed the worm and the plant to serve as his agent in Jonah's life. And this worm was a particular kind that does destroy the large gourd. And God also prepared a vehement east wind. The wind caused the plant to wither. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. And God said, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah said, yes, angry enough to die. So Jonah continued to justify his rebellious attitude, and God was merciful. in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 4. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which it came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah was more concerned with a plant that died than he was with the death of Nineveh. People of more value than animals, and animals of more value than plants. But the Lord has a concern that extends to all of his creation. If Jonah could take pity on a plant, which is even less important than an animal, it only made sense that God would take pity on human beings who are made in God's image. So the book of Jonah ends on this note of contrast between Jonah's ungracious heart and the kind heart of God. And so the book of Jonah shows us the love of God for all mankind. God so loved the world. And Jonah loved his own people, but he did not have love for his enemies. He knew that God was a merciful God of great kindness, but he himself did not show kindness. So now we'll have Brother David down. He'll speak to us on Micah.